so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
You know, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, on unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, August the 9th, 2019. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by my co-host, Elise Jacobson.
Hello.
Today's show is dedicated to continuing a further investigation of the animal agriculture industry and the Excelsior hog farm that rears thousands of pigs for consumption in Abbotsford, BC. You'll probably remember the Meet the Victims Canada action that took place at this factory farm facility on the morning of April the 28th. I was there, as was our co-host Jen and about 200 other concerned animal advocates. Well, last Friday afternoon, an additional 7 minutes of undercover video footage of this farm was released publicly on YouTube and had garnered over 13,000 views until last night, when it was then removed by YouTube. In today's show, we'll speak with farmed animal advocacy lawyer Anna Pippis to get her legal opinion on the causes for concern with regards to the acts of cruelty depicted by the individual farmers in this video footage. Plus, we'll have Meet the Victims Canada organizer and animal liberationist Amy Serrano on the show to provide deeper insights into the progress or lack thereof in this ongoing case. Those interviews are coming up soon, so please do stay tuned. But first, we are experiencing a hot summer season right now here in Vancouver, and that always strikes the alarm bell for me when it comes to worrying about seeing dogs in hot cars in the city. In fact, this happened to me just last week. I was in the car in the parkade underneath the Whole Foods on West 4th Avenue talking on the phone when a person who had parked beside me was leaving the car with his dog in it in the stifling heat and just leaving the windows open a crack, which is not enough. I know that a dog can suffer irreversible brain damage within just minutes inside a hot car, so I had to act. I called him on it. I opened my window and I said to him, "You're not going to leave your dog like that there, are you? That window is not open enough. It's too hot." He told me that he was just going to be 30 seconds, which was a relief to me, but I was still concerned. I told him that I was then going to stay to keep an eye on his dog and wait for him to return. He did come back about 90 seconds later and thanked me for watching his dog, and I hope that my action towards him enforced the fact that it's not okay to keep your dog inside a hot car. Also, it's important for us as individuals to do something about it when we see an animal in need. Elise, I know you have some information for us with regards to dogs in hot cars.
Yeah, I think it's great that this is being discussed more nowadays. I think it's super cool that you took action for that dog, Allison, because we definitely need to keep an eye out for our canine friends. Every year, dogs are suffering and dying when their guardians make the mistake of leaving them in a parked car, even for, you know, quote unquote, just a minute while they run an errand. Parked cars can be death traps for dogs. According to PETA, on a 78 degree day, the temperature inside a parked car can soar to 100 degrees Fahrenheit in just minutes. And on a 90 degree day, the interior temperature can reach as high as 109 degrees in less than 10 minutes. So if you're thinking in centigrade, that's like, you know, if the temperature outside is in the high 20s, around 30, it can easily soar to over 40 degrees inside the car in less than 10 minutes. Animals can sustain brain damage or even die from heat stroke in just 15 minutes. So time is of the essence if this happens. And beating the heat is extra tough for dogs because they can only cool themselves by panting. So if you see a dog left alone in a hot car, what should you do? You should take down the car's color, model, make, and license plate number, have the guardian paged in the nearest buildings, or call local humane authorities such as, you know, the SPCA, Animal Control, or the police. Have someone keep an eye on the dog or keep an eye on the dog yourself, as Allison did, and don't leave the scene until the situation has been resolved. If the authorities are unresponsive or too slow and the dog's life appears to be in imminent danger, what you want to do is find a witness or several who will back up your assessment, take steps to remove the suffering animal from the car, and then wait for authorities to arrive. You want to watch for heat stroke symptoms, and in dogs that looks like restlessness, excessive thirst, their saliva will get thick, heavy panting, lethargy, lack of appetite, their tongue might get dark, et cetera, vomiting, that sort of thing. And if a dog shows any of these symptoms, you want to get him or her out of the heat, preferably into an air-conditioned vehicle, and then to a veterinarian immediately. And if you're unable to transport the dog yourself, take him or her into an air-conditioned building if possible and call animal control. Tell them it's an emergency. Provide water for the dog to drink, and if possible, spray the dog with a garden hose or immerse him or her in a tub of cool but not iced water for up to 2 minutes in order to lower the body temperature gradually. You can also place the dog in front of an electric fan. Applying cool, wet towels to the groin area, stomach, chest, and paws can also help, but you want to be careful not to use ice or cold water because you don't want to shock their system too much and overcool them too quickly. So those are
That's a lot of information.
It is.
I have a link to that information page by the BC SPCA is where I got my main info. And they also have a campaign called No Hot Pets. And what it is on the link that I provided on animalvoices.org, you can click there to take a pledge to not keep your companion animals in hot weather this year in the cars, and they will send you, if you live in BC, they will send you a decal that says no hot pets that you can put on your car.
Okay.
Which I'm glad to have. I want people to know that I'm an advocate for like that. I'm the hot dog in the car police.
Right.
So
yeah.
Another thing you had mentioned is you had said the authorities who to call, but if no one does come, you can call 911.
Right,
in
exactly.
BC here. So yeah. That can always be the last resort.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really hope that people take notice of this. There's just been so many sad instances over the years of when you hear that a dog has stifled and died or suffered that irreversible brain damage. And
again, it can happen so quickly, you know, within 10, 15 minutes.
That's why I had to keep an eye on that dog because he said 30 seconds. I'm like, okay, 30 seconds, I can see him in there being really hot, but not much more.
Yeah.
So take action. Please take action. I was talking on the phone with my friend at the time, and he heard what I was saying. He's like, you shouldn't do things like that. That's very aggressive. And I said to him, Jason, when I see an animal in need, I'm going to help this animal, and I hope you would do the same.
Absolutely.
So we need to be the advocates here and not assume that someone else is going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
So now on to our main topic on today's show. We reflect again upon the happenings of the morning of April 28th, 2019, when 65 activists occupied the Excelsior Hog Farm, a typical and one of the best quote-unquote factory farm facilities in BC. If you eat pork in British Columbia, this is where your food comes from. And if you consume animals in another province or state, it is much the same. I myself was present inside the barn on this day and experienced abominations happening behind these closed doors. Many photographs and videos were captured inside the gestation room where I bore witness to horrors such as a mother pig miscarrying a fetus and stereotypic behaviors of repeated biting and chewing at nothing and pigs swinging their heads back and forth repetitiously as no water was dispensed for these sentient beings during the whole 6 hours we were there, and we were quite surprised at that. Marked with bed sores from the tiny cage enclosures where the mother pigs cannot turn around and can barely even stand and sit down, as well as gashes in their skin, the stench of ammonia permeated throughout the air as they live in their own urine and feces. It was a very dirty environment.
You can listen to our May 3rd show at animalvoices.org, where we presented our first expose of the findings for that day. And now last Friday, there was an additional 7 minutes of undercover video footage uploaded publicly to YouTube that was taken by hidden cameras at this farm, showing the individual farmers taking part in actions such as electric prodding the faces of the pigs, kicking and rough handling them, cutting holes in the piglets' rear ends, and ripping out their testicles with no anesthetic, and also pigs with untreated hernias and lameness. We want to know exactly what we were seeing in this horrific video that is depicted blatant animal abuse by the farmers who said they, quote, love their job and that it's fun. How is egregious cruelty fun at any time? Earlier this week, Allison spoke with lawyer Anna Pippis, who specializes in Canadian farmed animal protection law. We asked for her legal opinion on the actions carried out towards the animals at Excelsior Hog Farm by the farmers and the young son, who are seen in this video footage working over months in the factory farm facility. Here is that interview with Anna.
Hello, Anna. Welcome back to the Animal Voices show.
Thanks so much, Allison.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today to share with us your legal opinion about this additional footage that was captured by hidden cameras over several months earlier this year and then released just last Friday on YouTube. So far, the video has gained 13,000 views from the last 5 days after publicly broadcasting to the mainstream media in April after the Meet the Victims animal activists occupation of the farm on April 28th. Farm owner Ray Benedict was quoted on camera as saying that he loves his job is fun, and that he was saddened that he was being depicted as a bad person. And as a director of the BC Pork Producers Council, his farm is known to have the highest standards in raising pigs for meat in the province of BC. So now, the recent 7 minutes of additional footage shows Ray, other farmers, and his young son, a minor, participating in what I think most people would consider to be shocking and gruesome acts towards these sentient beings. We see the pigs being rough handled, kicked, electric prodded in the face and ear notch, and castrated without any anesthetic. We see this over and over again at different instances throughout the video, captured over several months. As a farmed animal advocacy lawyer, what are we seeing here that the public should have cause for concern for, and which of these exposed activities are legal and which are not?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's a tough one to answer sort of concisely because it's actually quite complicated. So, you know, they were quoted in the news as saying that they were good people and that they were industry leaders. And, you know, that may well be true. And that's one of the problems with this industry, is that a lot of what we're seeing is very common. Not all of it is legal, but it's certainly common. This is really how farmed animals are being treated. We see the young children there on the farm. These are family farms. The children grow up treating the animals in this way and using the animals in this way. And when those of us who may have a different relationship or sense of how we should relate to animals see this type of thing, we can feel very shocked. Whereas I think for some people in the farm community, this footage would not appear to be particularly shocking. Now, that said, there were some instances depicted in the footage that showed some clear, what I would consider to be clear violations. And there were other instances that, although potentially not violations, are certainly, you know, cruel for the animals. So a couple of the more obvious ones are that, so just to back up one or two steps here, in British Columbia and in Canada, it's essentially it's illegal to cause animals to be in distress or to cause unnecessary suffering to animals. And And in Canada, we have a code of practice for the care and handling of pigs, or the pig code of practice. And that code of practice in BC is considered to be basically the law. Now, it's more complicated than that, but farmers are supposed to comply with these codes of practice. As of recently, they've been incorporated into BC law. And so those codes of practice say that pigs must not be handled aggressively, and kicking pigs is expressly prohibited. In addition, electric prods must only be used as a last resort and never as the primary driving device. And it's prohibited to use the electric prods on pigs' bodies other than on their back or hindquarters. And you can only use the electric prods on lead pigs. So there are some very specific requirements about how pigs can and cannot be handled. It's very clear from the footage that workers were handling the pigs quite aggressively. There were numerous instances of pigs being kicked. The electric prod was quite clearly being used as a primary driving device. A pig was prodded in the face. They were the rear pigs, which is not permitted. So there were a lot of handling problems that seemed to be code violations. In addition, there were some issues you mentioned with the castration and tail docking and ear notching. The code of practice requires analgesics, but not anesthetics to be used. So analgesics are like ibuprofen, like post-procedure pain control. But the surgeries do not require anesthetics, so they don't need to numb the area. So you can imagine if you were to decide to neuter your cat or your dog, if you were on a farm, you would be allowed to do it just by providing them with some painkillers, but not necessarily numbing the area. And so we can't really tell from the footage whether analgesics were provided an hour or some amount of time beforehand. But it sounds like from the footage, it's hard to see where this could have taken place. So that's certainly an area where there should be an investigation on the part of law enforcement to ensure that the farm is complying with the requirements in the code of practice to provide analgesics. A few other things. So we saw some sick and injured pigs. You know, that's one of these things that's standard in farms. So it's quite, I think, saddening and shocking for many of us to see just the sheer scope of death, how many animals die, and the amount of injuries, lameness, and that type of thing. But it's not illegal. What the code of practice does require is that in sick pens, animals should have bedding. And that's especially so for animals who are lame. And animals in sick pens should have easy access to water and food. That's not something that we saw in the video footage. And moreover, sick and injured pigs must be monitored. Now, it's a bit vague here, but the animals must be monitored with appropriate frequency. So we don't know exactly what that means. It depends upon the condition, but at least daily. And in the case of a lame animal, so we saw in the footage a lame animal at the back of the pen with no bedding, unable to access water, or so it seemed. And that went on for, it looked like the timestamp was somewhere from 1:30 p.m. or so until the next morning. So that is a long period of time that this animal could have been slowly suffering potentially to death. So that's another area where, you know, law enforcement would really need to look into that and find out what's going on. And the last sort of set of problems is that the conditions in farms, according to the code of practice, are required to be hygienic. And we see cobwebs, dust, workers are smoking. The personnel performing the castration and tail docking and ear notching were just wearing street clothes, not wearing gloves. So that's concerning. That could potentially spread disease, of course. We need hygienic conditions near open wounds. In addition, the severe cobwebs, these can be a fire hazard. So we know that barn fires are a real problem in Canada. And partly that's because of a lack of sanitation in these facilities. So these cobwebs can contribute to fire hazards.
Thank you for that very thorough answer. And I think just that alone will provide a lot of clarification for our listeners. Most of the comments I've read, people, even the omnivores, they're disgusted by what they're seeing here. One thing that we are speaking about is the farmer's son. He's a minor. He looks like a young teenager, and he's shown cutting the baby piglets and pulling out their testicles over and over again. The timestamps indicate that he's doing this always early in the morning, so I would imagine before school. Is there any cause for concern here about having children do this type of farm work?
Well, legally, maybe, maybe not. I mean, I think some people may be disturbed by the idea that it's such a young person, but that's not necessarily going to violate labor laws. This is a family-run farm, a family farm. And, you know, this may be a case of the children participating in the chores. That said, the code of practice does require personnel to be trained in low stress pig handling methods. And certainly when it comes to the surgeries, the husbandry procedures, as they're called, the castration, tail docking, and ear notching, workers are required to be trained. There's certainly a question when children are involved, depending on the age of the children. Are they sufficiently trained in low stress handling techniques? Are they even mature enough to be able to be doing this work? These are really all questions that, you know, can't be answered by us speculating. It would need, you know, depend on the age of the child and the, what kind of training are the children receiving. But I think from just a sort of non-legal point of view, and myself as a mother and just as a person who lives in this world, it's certainly concerning to see children handling animals this way and, you know, growing up to take upon this approach to handling animals and life in a way that feels very callous. So just even the way that the piglets, the dead bodies, are being tossed around and dragged around, while not illegal, is disturbing, I think, to me, to see the way that we are have such a casual disregard for something as wondrous as life. And I wonder, what does this do to our psyches? And then, of course, these are the children who are going to grow up to become the farmers, and then they will, in good conscience, be able to say, I am a good person, I am a good farmer, and that will be true for them. They're just doing what they've been taught, what they've learned how to do, and they will be working hard and providing for their families and all and contributing to their communities and all of these things that they say they do, which is where we have this real divide when they say, what are you talking about? I'm a good person. And then some of us on the other side go, well, how can you do this sort of thing? And that's where we get this real disconnect between, you know, behavior and values.
Yeah. Another query that comes to light is the way that this undercover footage was obtained. So unlike other undercover farm videos where the footage is usually obtained by an undercover employee while at the job to get the video footage that we've seen here, the investigators had to leave their hidden cameras on the properties and then come back to retrieve them. So that is definitely trespass, might be called break and enter. And I understand that authorities such as the BC SPCA and even CTV, a major news broadcaster, are now unsure how to handle this case since the footage was taken illegally. So in your opinion, does the illegality of how the video was obtained trump the fact that it's exposing blatant animal abuse? How does that work in our legal system? Because it seems like we're setting a precedent taking place here, which is what I've been told. And so that's why these organizations are not acting on this right now. They're trying to figure out what to do.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, sort of a novelty. Times are changing. People are becoming more aware of what's happening on farms and are willing to go to more desperate measures in order to obtain proof to show people, look, this is what's commonly happening on farms in our own backyards. So I can speak to what's required for prosecution. So you can have a clear legal violation of any sort, I mean, animal cruelty or just any kind in general in our society. But prosecutors don't always prosecute. They make a decision to prosecute based on a number of factors. And one of the things that they look at is whether it's in the best interest of society. There's a particular test that they look at, like, is this the right thing to be pursuing? And in this case, they, you know, I wasn't there, but I can speculate that perhaps the prosecutors said, well, look, this footage was obtained illegally, so if we allow it to be used and we go forward with prosecuting for animal cruelty in this case, that is going to not be in the public interest because it's going to encourage other people to obtain footage using illegal measures, and that's not something that we want to encourage. So that's the type of thing that they may be thinking. But from a broader point of view, I think this really reveals the issue with farms being on private property operated by private families, and there's no recourse or right of the public to access this information in any meaningful way. The information that we are allowed to get is from the farmers themselves, typically in the form of propaganda or agricultural exhibits or fairs or materials or websites, interactive online sites. So, but we don't actually have a right to access the farms or to access information about the farms the way that we would if the farms were actually regulated and overseen by government. you know, then we would be able to use, let's say, freedom of information laws to find out what's happening on this farm and what kind of violations are taking place here and this kind of thing. As it is now, it's very secret. And so, of course, people are resorting to desperate measures in order to be able to expose what's taking place. And, you know, sure enough, when it is exposed what's taking place, the average member of the public is horrified. That's what we're seeing. So I think that it's a very challenging situation that I think at the end of the day, citizens shouldn't need to break the law in order to expose what's happening on farms. And I, you know, I sort of wish and hope that farmers will recognize that themselves, that they need to have more transparency in order to, you know, move the ball forward here. And to, if they don't want people breaking into their farms, then like, let's create transparency around what's happening here.
Yeah, well, as the sign said in the farm, what happens in the barn stays in the barn. And it seems like right, they wanted to keep it that way, but now the whole world knows is what is happening in the barn.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a classic sign that really couldn't better explain the farm industry. It really is very secretive and it takes place behind closed doors. And most of us, you know, non-vegans think that there's something wrong with it. If this is the food that Canadians are eating, then Canadians should have a right to know what the life of this food was like.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anna Pippis, farmed animal advocacy lawyer, for coming on the show today to give us your comments about the new undercover video footage of the Excelsior Pig Farm that has just been released on YouTube. You can find that YouTube link yourself by going to our webpage, animalvoices.org, and it's also posted on our Facebook page at Animal Voices Vancouver. Thank you so much, Anna, for taking this time out of your day. This information has been incredibly useful.
Thank you so much, Allison.
Have a good day.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
Our feature interview today is with Kelowna-based animal liberationist Amy Serrano. She was an organizer of the Meet the Victims Canada action that took place at the Excelsior Hog Farm in Abbotsford, BC on April 28th and is here to discuss the latest updates with regards to the new undercover video footage from inside the barn as it was published on YouTube late last week. Hello, Amy. Welcome to the Animal Voices show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today to discuss with us this ongoing case that has animal activists up against the corporate powers of the animal agriculture industry and a government that seems to gloss over proof of blatant animal cruelty when basic codes of practice do exist within BC and Canada in the animal farming industry, which have been now clearly shown to have been violated. You were one of the organizers of the action that took place on April 28th at the Excelsior Hog Farm when 65 of us animal advocates decided we needed to take on the moral responsibility to expose what happens behind the closed doors of all factory farms. Excelsior happens to be owned by one of the directors of the BC Pork Producers Association and known to be a leader in the province when it comes to animal welfare. Just from that day spent in the barn after the farmers had all week to clean up with fair warning of an upcoming formal investigation, what were your takeaways as to what we observed, both in the ways that animals are treated, but perhaps more so with the response of the farmers and farming community after we invaded their space to show consumers where their meat comes from?
Yeah, so in terms of how animals are treated after witnessing in person the realities that those pigs face at Excelsior, it becomes obvious that the depictions of family farms and commercial barns and on commercials with ads, there's no resemblance on reality. And the response from the farmers was quite interesting. On the one hand, they made statements like, "We love our farm, we're proud of our work, and it's fun." And while apparently being proud of what they do, they don't seem to promote what they are so proud of. Who would be proud of mutilating screaming piglets by cutting their tails, testicles, and teeth? There's no reason that these standard practices are depicted in pork commercials. The truth is that they are not proud of what they do, not at all. They know that if consumers saw the uncensored reality, they wouldn't want to support these industries. And I think that it's important to note that what we saw was the best of the best. As you mentioned, this farm is considered an industry leader. But more than that, they knew that the FCCA would be investigating soon. And they saw that activists may be paying a visit quite shortly after. So the farm was very prepared and on the best behavior. And what we saw that day was perhaps the most pristine pig farm in all of Canada, if not the world.
Yeah, I think that it just shows to the world that this is the best animal farming, and that's what we want people mm-hmm. to know. That, you know, I posted a meme on our Facebook today that shows screen captures of all different animal video undercover investigations at all different farms probably across North America, and beside each one is a comment that says, "Yeah, but that only happened at that one farm." But yeah, mm-hmm. that only happened at that one farm for the next one, and so on and so on. And I hope consumers are realizing that it's actually every farm. So you were there when the Abbotsford police officer put all 50 of us under arrest for trespass plus possible break and enter and mischief, we were told. A police officer took my information, took my photo with a sticker on me that said prisoner and my name on it, and I was told that I may be contacted in the future if charges were going to be pressed. Of us 50, you were the only person who was actually taken away and charged to the state, and a court date for July 8th was set for you to appear. It's August 9th today. Can you tell us what has become of your charges?
Yeah, so that's correct. My court date was actually postponed for an unnamed reason. I've discussed this at length with my lawyer, and the postponing of my court date could be a result of several things, and ultimately, we don't know for sure. But it's presumed that they don't really know what to do with me. This is a new type of legal case here in Canada, and the BC Pork Producers Association likely know that I want to go to court, and I want a chance to tell these pig stories in the courtroom and reignite the story in the media again. And we can only imagine that they don't want to give me that platform for their industry to be further exposed. But again, we're not entirely sure. We're just waiting now to be called back to court, and we'll see what happens.
Well, that's a really strange way for the law to work, in my mind. And I am reminded of the pig trials of Anita Crimes, where she was able to give her statement in front of the courtroom for that message to get out there. And she did use that as a vehicle to get the message out that we don't believe in animals being used and abused. And, you know, I hope that did make a difference. I think the more that people conduct these actions, the more it's going to get out there. Our co-host Elise has a question for you.
Yeah, hi, Amy. We just heard from animal rights lawyer Anna Pippis about some of the unlawful violations that have been shown in that newly released video on YouTube, in which the farmers are causing the pigs unnecessary distress by kicking and rough handling the animals, electric prodding them in the face, and as a primary means of force, keeping the pigs in an unhygienic environment and not providing straw for the sick and injured pigs to lay on. And there are other quote-unquote standard practices, however, being shown in the video that may actually be legal, like ripping out piglets' testicles, but this was nonetheless a cause for concern among Canadians, I would think. I don't think that most Canadians would support the egregious suffering of animals, as we've seen both in this latest video and all the videos previously posted since April by yourself, Amy, and many others. As a liberationist for the animals, what would you like regular Canadians to take away from this video that now proves without a doubt that these images are from the Excelsior Farm, but also brings to public light actions against animals that may seem heinous but are actually legal?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. This goes to show how secretive the industry really is. I hope that that is concerning to meat eaters. The farm knew that the original footage was indeed taken at their farm, but they also knew that people would feel upset after watching this footage, so they lied. The animal agriculture industries know that the realities of farms and slaughterhouses is shocking and upsetting to the general public, and that's why they don't show us the truth. But isn't that concerning to consumers? I would hope that the story and the footage that comes to light will get people talking and questioning what we've always been told about animal farming, because even in the best of the best farms, it's just not the truth.
Speaking of best of the best farms, do you think Canadians will finally come to realize that this is how meat must be made to meet the consumer demand, and that if you want to eat meat from an animal or from a pig, this is where it comes from? It's coming actually from this farm if you live in BC. And that's how it's been for years and years since industrialization started. And that's how it's going to continue until there's no demand. Is that a message that you want to take with this case and with the actions from the day of April the 28th?
Yeah, so I hope that everything that has come to light regarding this farm, and considering it is deemed a humane, local, family farm, I hope that it has impacted a lot of people and encourages them to make changes. Food is a deeply sensitive subject in our world. It involves our traditions, our memories, and our cultures. But ultimately, if we are consuming the highest welfare animal products like Ad Excelsior, are we really okay with supporting the horrors that innately go along with these products? That's the question that we must ask ourselves. Are we okay with paying these farmers and these slaughterhouse workers to do these things to animals? Because that's what we're doing when we buy these products at the store.
I'm wondering, because of this investigation and others that have been out there, will Canadians now be calling for better farm conditions? Or are they realizing that they don't want this to happen at all? I've seen the comments underneath the YouTube video, and some people are saying, that's disgusting, I will never eat meat again. That was an easy convert. But some others are perhaps not so easy. But I think this is starting the conversation. But what do you think? Is this going to lead to like better welfare for pigs in cages, or no pigs at all?
Yeah. Well, that's a tough question. I can't predict how people will react moving forward, but if Canadians are ultimately feeling compelled to initiate change, we should look at this objectively. How can we simply improve a system that profits off of killing? No matter how we look at it, these animals are going to get a knife across the throat for no good reason, and there's no right way to do the wrong thing. If people are truly outraged by this footage that came from Excelsior, we should look at our own plates first and make the necessary changes, and then empower others to realize the need for change as well. Ultimately, we need to end animal agriculture entirely. Welfare isn't here for the animals. It is only there to ease our conscience.
Thank you for that message. While I know that CTV, a major news broadcaster, is working on a story right now to air on TV soon, as far as I still understand, I understand that Ray Benedict, the owner of the Excelsior Hog Farm, who is shown in this latest undercover video, he has not yet provided a public comment on what he thinks about all this. I'm sure he's been talking to his lawyers a lot this week. He had previously said that on camera that he thought that some of the original undercover footage could have been staged and not even taken at his barn. But now we see proof of him, as we see him, his farmers, and even his young teenage son committing rough and heinous acts against the animals over and over again. I am also interested in knowing what Johnston's pork suppliers feel about the new footage. After the April 28th occupation of the farm by activists, Johnston's boldly defended the farm on their website, as they are the distributors of all the meat from Excelsior that goes to feed BC citizens. On the Johnston's website, they also state that they are committed to ensuring that the animals are treated fairly, and that their success over the years has been a result of consistent core values. So I wonder how these core values are being expressed now after seeing gross animal mistreatment in the video, which I hope they have seen. I did send it to them and I asked for their commentary and have not heard back. But Johnston's, if you are listening to this, please contact us at Animal Voices and let us know your position. Do you still support and want to do business with a farm that clearly violates animal agriculture law and unnecessarily commits abuse to their animals, which is apparently not in line with what Johnston's is as a company? Amy, what are your thoughts on what the industry says to consumers on one hand versus the truth of what is now being told?
It's marketing at its finest. We see this all the time. The ads, slogans, images used to promote animal products, it's a result of very creative and strategic marketing, not a result of reality. Every time investigative footage comes forward, we can see the drastic contrast between fact and fiction. The footage has been out for days now, as you know, and Mr. Benedict and the whole Pork Producers Association it seems they're just trying to sweep this under the carpet and silence activists and pretend that this hasn't happened, which goes to show deep down that they realize that even video footage showcasing legal standard practices within the industry is horrific, and people are upset watching these things, and the general public feel lied to, as they should. Pig farming in Canada is not what it's advertised to be. Even the sign outside of Excelsior is so wildly misleading compared to the realities. And ultimately, despite what the farmers had to say at Meet the Victims, they are not at all proud of what they do, but in fact, deeply ashamed. And Johnston's has just deflected and played the victim ever since the get-go. Of the countless pigs that they murder each day, it doesn't seem like they really care what the animal's quality of life has been like leading up to that point. And instead of addressing the issue at hand, Johnston's has made claims that by them receiving emails and a few calls from activists regarding Excelsior, that they feel harassed. And it's causing them stress. So they're not worried at all about the animals, but instead are just trying to distract and make it about the activists now so that they don't have to take responsibility.
Jeez. You know, I sent them a very polite email this week saying, Johnston's, you know, in light of the fact that part of your policy is to ensure fair treatment of animals and that your success lies off your core values that you've had for many years, what do you think of what is found in this video? And I listed all the violations that I had witnessed. I emailed them a few times, no response. You would think that their PR person would be all over that immediately, because it's better to say something than to say nothing when you're omitting. I think that makes these companies look even worse.
Absolutely.
So, about a month after the first undercover video footage was released at the end of April, the BCSPCA said that they would not be pursuing any charges against the farm since the investigator had not come forth. And I don't know why they didn't use any of the Meet the Victims activist video footage as evidence. That was all public and people had their names on them. Well, it was reported in the news last week that the BCSPCA may now be reopening the previously closed investigation against the farm since one of the investigators has now come forth to them privately. And I understand that the BCSPCA has also been given an additional 2 hours of raw footage showing much of the same animal abuse as we have seen in the 7 minutes worth on YouTube. It's all verified with location and timestamp. The BCSPCA had no one available to comment on these updates when I asked. So I'm wondering, Amy, if you can shed some light about what you know about the reopening of an investigation against the Excelsior Hog Farm or anything that you might know on the BCSPCA's stance on this new video footage, especially they have a whole full 2 hours to look at that shows the farmers in every scene committing these outrageous acts of cruelty towards animals. What is your knowledge about this area?
Sure. So just a little correction there. The BCSPCA was actually given around 390 hours of
footage.
Oh, wow. A significant amount of footage was obtained from that farm and has all been handed over to the SPCA. The SPCA drops charges against Excelsior due to not knowing who took the footage, as you mentioned, and someone has come forward revealing their identity and involvement in the case, and even handing over all of that footage. In addition, and so far nothing. The case has not been reopened, and the last we heard, they had not even looked at any of the additional footage that was given to them. It's possible that the excuse as to why they dropped the investigation to begin with was just a ploy in order to catch the activists who were involved. I believe that the BCSPCA did give a statement to a news station a few days ago commenting on the footage, saying that there were no violations. However, they also claimed that they had not seen the footage, so it's getting a little convoluted. But within the code of practice for Canadian pig farming, most of the code is classified as recommendation. Other parts fall under requirement sections of the code. Even in the requirement section, the language is often vague and can be interpreted in different ways. For instance, what constitutes as prompt treatment of animals? How is prompt defined? What constitutes unnecessary suffering? How is unnecessary defined, etc.? That said, there are different requirements in the code that have clearly and objectively been violated, and not even the most generous interpretation of the code would be able to get around these. Like the use of electric prods, as Anna said, must be restricted to the back hind corners on lead pigs. But mm-hmm. in the footage, we can see pigs that were electrically prodded in the face. And there are several of these violations in code, and we have contacted the BCSPCA again, outlining specific violations, but they seem rather unenthused with reopening this file, which is quite disappointing to see.
Yes, so hopefully we will be hearing back from them, because I did request a dialogue with the SPCA, even though their people are on vacation now. Not a great week to take a vacation, by the way, because we have some important things happening here. Finally, Amy, we only have about a minute left, but I want to end by opening this huge can of spaghetti. Let's discuss the ethics of our food choices. Why do animals matter? What is the deeper message here? Was the purpose of Meet the Victims simply to expose poor conditions for the pigs that could potentially be somewhat improved upon, or to expose that there is ultimately no way to humanely create animal flesh and byproducts to consume? Do we want better conditions for the animals, or do we want animal liberation?
Yeah, so you're right. This is a huge can of worms, and we could be talking about this for days. But ultimately, my core message and the work that I do is always rooted in animal liberation. The purpose of Meet the Victims was to expose the industry for what it is. Our goal isn't to improve farming standards or expose an incidence of cruelty, but simply to raise public awareness around where their food comes from with legal industry standards, which hopefully encourages them to make steps towards going vegan. People need to feel personally impacted and emotionally affected, and I think that that is something that Meet the Victims' actions do achieve.
Right. I wanted to mention too, we didn't even bring this up, but YouTube actually took down this 7 minutes of public footage last night due to a third-party privacy claim. I don't know if we can get it back up there. It had over 13,000 views when I looked at it a few days ago. We were trying to get it to go viral. But, I mean, there's so much other material out there that can be shared, that has been shared. So you can find that at Meet the Victims Canada Facebook page or our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. I have posted extensive live video and footage there. And we also have some great videos that were made to summarize the day's events. So check all that information out on animalvoices.org and just type in Meet the Victims in the search bar. So we have to close now. Thank you, animal liberationist Amy Serrano, for coming on the show today to share with us your experiences and insights on the ongoing case of exposing the abuse and use of animals within our modern day and local farming system. To hear more about Amy's personal story and her activism, I recommend watching her speech on YouTube called Veganism and Animal Rights, Are We Doing Enough? This is posted on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and also on our website, animalvoices.org. Thank you so much, Amy, for being a voice for the animals and for stepping up when animals are in need, which is all the time. And I look forward to speaking to you again. I hope we can have you on a future show. There's so much to talk about. Thanks, Amy, and have a good day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And now for the news. A 2-year-old girl was hospitalized Monday evening after being bitten by a black bear at the Greater Vancouver Zoo in Aldergrove while visiting with her mother. The bear bit down on her arm through the fence, leaving a deep gash that went down to the bone. Her father, who was not present at the time of the incident, says she may have also lost a fingertip. Staff at the Greater Vancouver Zoo claim that the little girl was in an area not authorized for public access. This story, to me, just leaves so many unanswered questions. I have to wonder how a 2-year-old was able to get close enough to a bear enclosure at the zoo to stick her arm through the fence. And
I know I've seen people sticking. Remember, there were cases of people being pulled into gorilla enclosures,
right?
Because they're too close. Actually, one boy, I think he fell in, and if you remember that, the gorilla kept him for quite a while.
Yeah,
you know, it just,
at another zoo. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But all these animals are behind bars. They're in zoos. They're in zoos. It's just, I think it's just completely, it's gross to even go there and to, I mean, so many questions come out when people are blaming the parents. Right. I personally blame the industry.
Yeah, I agree.
And the
consumer
demand.
They shouldn't be kept in captivity.
Yeah, know better, do better. It is 2019. By now, parents, I would hope, know that these are not places to support. Do not give them your money.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the Greater Vancouver Zoo over the years has come under fire many times for problems with, the way they keep the animals and stuff like that, cruelty accusations. But, you know, but keeping animals in captivity in general is just outdated and wrong. Studies have shown that children don't learn anything of value from observing animals in captivity. It's kind of like, you know, trying to study human nature by watching people in jail or something. It's just not beneficial.
Well, thank you for that, Elise. I think we're just going to move on to our events.
Sure. Yeah, okay. So we've got quite a few events coming up this weekend, actually. Tomorrow, Saturday, August 10th, from 1 to 3 p.m. outside Broadway Canada Line Station. It's the Rezoning for the Animals Raise a Lot of Hell event. This Saturday, August 10th, 1 to 3 p.m., please join us, they say, to raise a lot of hell for the animals. Please help us hand out flyers and take signatures on petitions at this super busy location so we can get the public to persuade Vancouver City Council to rezone the new St. Paul's Hospital land such that animal testing is not permitted within the hospital laboratories. Please come out and support the animals. That's from Rezoning for the Animals for their Raise a Lot of Hell event tomorrow, 1 to 3 p.m.
At
Broadway and Cambie.
Then I was going to interject subtly, but it wasn't very subtle. But yes, so we had actually Patricia Kendall, who is the lead of this campaign, on last week's show again. We've had her on two times now. Great. I recommend listening to those podcasts. Go to animalvoices.org and you can type in rezoning for the animals or Pat Kendall to find out more.
Great. And then also tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. at St. James Community Square, there's a nonviolent direct action training hosted by Extinction Rebellion Vancouver. They say it's time to rebel. Life as we know it is falling apart. Extreme weather events and mass species extinction cover the globe. The government has failed to implement the radical change we need. We are facing the unraveling of the ecological, social, and economic systems that underpin our lives. In preparation for future actions, including the International Rebellion on October 7th, join us for our introduction to nonviolent direct action. In this workshop, you will learn action essentials, how to chat to police and public during actions, aspects of burnout and regenerative culture, and quick decision making. You learn about Extinction Rebellion affinity groups, such as the Vancouver chapter, and the role they will play in direct actions, hands-on nonviolent direct action, and a legal section with a representative from the Law Union BC. They ask that you bring plant-based food to share if you're able, and they will have tea and coffee available. This event is inclusive, wheelchair accessible, and scent reduced. And again, that's tomorrow, St. James Community Square at 3:30 p.m. And also tomorrow, it's a busy day, Saturday, August 10th, 5 to 9 p.m. at Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary in Alder Grove. It's Dîner avec les Cochons. Enjoy a delicious five-course plated dinner surrounded by nature at the sanctuary at this semi-formal, one-of-a-kind event. Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary is very excited to announce that they will be launching a new spectacular event August 10th. They say this will become one of our annual fundraisers in celebration of our nonprofit status. This is a brand new concept in collaboration with Urban Leaf Plant-Based Foods, a catering company. The event will highlight local food, vendors, members of the vegan community, the residents of the sanctuary, and more. So if you'd like more information, look up Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary in Alder Grove. We actually also had Carrie Shogan, who runs the sanctuary, on Animal Voices just recently, and that was
great. Look that one up. That was a really great interview, and she came in here and gave us some wonderful cupcakes. So I think catering this dinner. She is a caterer.
Oh, good.
Her food is good. Those cupcakes were delicious and melted in my mouth. Check out that podcast, animalvoices.org. It's just from 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Really good.
Absolutely. And then next Saturday, August 17th, from 4 to 7 p.m. at McLeod Athletic Park in Langley, it's the Eating Meat is Animal Cruelty outreach event hosted by Langley Pig Save. Langley Pig Save says, we are getting together as Earthlings against Langley Rib Fest on Saturday afternoon to spread awareness of the Rib Fest's impact on the environment, human health, and most importantly, on our non-human friends from Excelsior Farm and their suffering. This is a perfect outreach opportunity as over 40,000 people attended Langley Rib Fest last year, and this year's numbers are likely to be similar. So again, that's next Saturday, August 17th, 4 to 7 p.m. at McLeod Athletic Park in Langley. And you can get in touch with Langley Pig Save for more information if you'd like to join in. If you have an animal-friendly event that you'd like us to announce on the show, send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. You've been listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Join us next Friday, August 16th at noon for more animal-friendly programming. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Visit our website, animalvoices.org, where you can stream past shows and download them as podcasts. You can also see our show blog there with detailed links and subscribe to us on iTunes. Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram at Animal Voices Vancouver and on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. And we're also looking for volunteers currently to help out. Is that right, Allison?
So as I had mentioned last week, we are looking, we're always looking for good people who would like to help us at Animal Voices, join our group collective. You know, we're all volunteer run and it's a lot of work. It's a heck of a lot of work. This is another part-time job for me that I have to fit within my full-time hours. And it would be great if we could have some help. We need help both on the air and off the air. So some skills that we're particularly looking for are people who are computer savvy, web savvy, social media savvy. Are you familiar with audio editing software or video editing? That would really come in handy, or even if you're willing to learn. And do you want to co-host with us? Do you want to be on the radio? We would love to have you here. We're always in need of co-hosts. So there's three things that we require. If you have the commitment, the knowledge of issues, or at least willing to learn, and the availability, but you don't have to be available on all Fridays to help, then we want to hear from you. Please contact me at info@animalvoices.org. You can also send a message through our Facebook page. That's perfectly reasonable and accepted, and someone will get back to you pretty soon.
Absolutely. And now we'll leave you with a song. This is True Nature with Total Liberation. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Total liberation.